Obituary.
Ángeles Flores Bayón, Marichuela. The last militia woman to defend Spain's Second Republic died on May 23rd, aged 105.
She never carried a rifle. Ángeles Flores Bayón was not one of those redoubtable women in aprons or overalls who lined up with guns at their shoulders in 1936 to shame the men into fighting. Instead, what she usually carried during her months as a miliciana defending the Second Republic at the start of Spain's Civil War was a huge pot of stew. She and her sister comrades would cook it up and haul it to the front line at Oviedo. Sometimes they had to crawl beneath the bullets that crackled from balconies and windows. Her friend, Angelita, covering for her one day, was killed outright by a sniper. She herself felt lucky to survive. When women were withdrawn from the front line, which annoyed her, she briefly became a nurse in a field hospital. It was set up in the cavernous spaces of an old match factory in Gijón, where she had charge of 30 beds. Here she carried mostly bandages and water. She did the job for 2 months only, but it was still enough to get her arrested when Oviedo fell to General Francisco Franco's forces for rebellion militar that earned her 15 years in jail. As the decades passed, the vital burden she carried was simply memories like those. As she neared 100, very few minds stretched back that far. For almost 40 years under Franco's dictatorship, Spain had been made to forget the trauma of the Civil War. The deep wounds that remained went untouched. Eventually, there would be no one left who had actively defended the Republic, a fervent socialist dream that lasted a mere 8 years before it fell. But she remembered that fight with the vivid passion of the rebel she always was. When she became the last living militiawoman, the only repository of this history, it was her duty to tell it. A country without memory was a country without a soul. Her first memories were of misery, into which bright socialism burst like the sun. Asturias, her province, was rugged coal country where bosses worked miners almost to death. Her miner father came home filthy every day because there were no showers. Pathetic little vegetable gardens were planted to supplement the meagre pay. Her parents, both of the left, separated when she was 9, but her mother's earnings as a midwife did not stretch to toys or school. Instead of going to class, Angelis mopped other people's floors and grew up illiterate. But then came the day, in 1931, when the Republic was proclaimed. Her mother's hand grasped hers as they rushed into the street, the flags and the cries of Viva la Republica, the general joy and those repeated shouts, Liberty, Equality, Justice, marked her for life. Tragedy then made her an activist. In 1934, her elder brother Antonio, a communist, took part in a miners' strike and was shot dead by the civil guard. Because she had adored him, she plunged into the socialist cause, joining a youth group and selling socialism in the villages with talks and plays. In one, Rise Up, Poor People of the World, she played the lead, a girl called Marichuela. The name was really ugly to her, but it stuck. It was Marichuela rather than Angelis, who had just finished rehearsing in the village of Polo del Cierro on July 18, 1936, and was dancing in the park when loudspeakers announced the coup and pleaded for defenders. At once she and her sister, Argentina, rushed to help. Within months she was in a women's jail. Here memory was sharp. A car idling outside her house, a 15-minute trial, and the stupid false accusation that she had killed 2 Moorish soldiers. Once inside, nuns came to make her pray. She had to do the fascist salute and sing their anthem, Facing the Sun. Refusal meant 5 days on bread and water in a solitary cell. Footsteps past her door at night were women being taken to be shot. Her boyfriend, Quintin, meanwhile, was killed in the fighting. He left her a ring, a bracelet, and a letter warning her to be careful. So much for that. After 5 years, she was let out on parole, only to fall into activism again, marry a militant miner, and in 1948 go into exile. On Holy Thursday that year, a very hot day, she dressed as a tourist in three layers of clothes and hid under an oilcloth on a fishing boat with her baby daughter in her arms. They were going to join her husband, Graciano, in France. She and he did what they could for Spain from there, in the soulless Franco time, apart from one trip in 1960 when she was stopped at the border as a terrorist. She did not return to her country for 56 years. At 85 then, petite, charming and beautifully turned out, she was still Mariquela, the rebel. Tirelessly she spoke her mind all across Asturias and beyond. Two books recorded her memories and drove home her themes. At 95, she got on Facebook. At 97, she had 900 friends. 21st century Spain, modern, more secular and more freer, was very different from the Spain she had left. But she stayed anxious. Women were still not treated as equals by too many men. Abortion rights looked fragile, and memories were fading. Though socialist governments tried to re-examine the horrors of the war and trace the disappeared, the work had far to go. For Spain's left-wing parties, she had a simple message: unite or lose. The Second Republic and the Popular Front that grew out of it had been riven, then destroyed, by arguments between factions. Division had lost the war. Socialism had returned, but still in a fractured state. And yet they all wanted the same things: equality, liberty, justice, peace. She had seen those ideals collapse before. They must not collapse again. Spain's new socialists fated her as their Mariquela, the precious keeper of Spain's past. Yet she felt they had especially forgotten the role women played on the socialist side. The men had fought and been made heroes. The women were largely unknown. But they had been fighters too, struggling like her for justice and to hold families together. Luchar, luchar, luchar. Fight and fight again. She spoke for them, using simple, weighty, repeated words: liberty, equality, unity. Or nada, nothing. What were a people or a country with no memory and no history? Nada. Nada. Nada.